Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in this episode, I want to talk about food, and specifically accusations that have been levelled against Russia that they have been stealing grain and other forms of food that's produced in Ukraine, removing it from the country, taking it to the annexed area of Crimea, and then either repatriating it back to Russia or selling it on to other countries. So in this video, we'll look at the areas of Ukraine that Russia is currently occupying, and we'll compare that with the production map of all of the key foodstuffs. I'll then walk you through some of the accusations that have been made against Russia, and we'll look at some footage that's been posted online. I'll then talk about the man-made famine that occurred in Ukraine in the early 1930s, which is referred to as Holodomor by the locals, and why what's going on right now is very poignant to Ukrainians, and there are concerns about whether or not this could lead to another food crisis in the country. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary and what I think the implications of all of this are for Ukraine, Russia, and the global economy. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm still on that big push for 100,000. It's getting closer, but it's still some way away yet, so your support would be really appreciated on that front. And don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below, where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and YouTube Super Thanks feature. This map shows all of the areas of Ukraine that were under Russian military control as at the end of May. So as you can see, Russia now controls all of the eastern territory of the country. And why this is important from a food production point of view is that a lot of these areas are very fertile. Ukraine is often referred to as the breadbasket of the world, and therefore they produce large volumes of a variety of different crops. And as I mentioned at the start of this video, Russia is now being accused of stealing all of this food stuff. In order to assess how important these areas are in terms of food production, we need to look at a map which shows how much each of these regions produces each year. Ukraine is one of the largest producers and exporters of wheat, and in 2021 it supplied around 9% of global wheat exports. If we now look at this map and focus our attention on the four key regions to the east of Ukraine, and apologies for my pronunciation, but they are Kharkivska, Zaporizhzhia, Donetsk, and Luhansk. These four regions contribute 21% of Ukraine's wheat production, and in 2021 the country produced 33 million tons in total. So the area that's currently controlled by Russia produces 7 million tons of wheat. And in terms of export tonnage, that equates to around 40% of the total volume of wheat that Ukraine exported in 2021. Ukraine is the world's largest exporter of sunflower oil and has a market share of around 50%. In 2021, Ukraine produced 19 million tons of sunflower seeds, and 19% or 3.6 million tons were produced in the four areas that are currently occupied by Russia. Millet is a grain that's used for livestock feed all around the world. And Ukraine is the second largest exporter globally, produced around 31 million tons in 2021. As you can see from this map, the four areas currently occupied by Russia equate to 28% of all of the millet produced, which equates to around 9 million tons. Ukraine is the fourth largest exporter of barley globally. And as you can see from the map, 17% of all barley production comes directly from the areas controlled by Russia. Rapeseed, or canola as it's also called, is another very popular vegetable oil. And Ukraine is the fifth largest exporter globally. In 2021, 23 million tons of rapeseed was produced in the country. And 12%, or around 3 million tons, was produced in the areas that are currently occupied by Russia. So as you can see from this analysis, the areas currently occupied by Russia in Ukraine are really important to the agriculture industry, both from an internal perspective, providing food for their own people, and also from an exports perspective. And Russia has been accused now of stealing grain that has been produced and stored in all of these areas. At the start of May, Ukraine's Minister of Agrarian Policy and Food said that 100,000 tons of grain had been taken from each of the four regions currently occupied by Russia. the stolen grain was set aside in each region to be used before the next harvest, meaning that there was a rising threat of famine in the country. Alongside this statement, footage was released from inside a car that was purported to show Russian lorries that had been marked with the Russian war symbol Z, carrying grain out of Ukraine to the Russian annexed Crimea area. Alongside this, footage was also released purporting to show Russian attacks on grain silos, farming infrastructure and fertilizer stores. The Ukrainian embassy has since accused Russia of shipping an estimated 100,000 tons of wheat stolen from Ukraine to Syria. The embassy said shipments included one aboard the Matros Poznich, a Russian-flagged vessel which docked at Syria's main seaport, Latakia, in late May. The wheat is stolen from a facility that combines wheat from three Ukrainian regions into one batch, the embassy said. This is criminal activity. The embassy said that more than 100,000 tons of plundered Ukrainian wheat had arrived in Syria over the last 3 months. With international wheat prices above $400 a ton, such a volume would be worth more than $40 million. Russia has been an important source of wheat imports for Syria since the start of its civil war in 2011, both as commercial imports and humanitarian aid. Russia pledged to supply Syria with 1 million tons of wheat under a bilateral deal in 2021. The Matros Poznich was initially destined to arrive in Beirut, Lebanon, but turned off its transponder on the 25th of May. It later turned the transponder back on as it was sailing away from the Syrian coast. Ukraine's agriculture ministry has now accused Russia of stealing 500,000 tons of wheat from the occupied regions. It says the grain is being sent either to Russia or to Crimea. The Kremlin has denied all allegations of stolen wheat, saying it did not know where the information had come from. And Russia's deputy foreign minister was quoted as saying, "We are not stealing anything from anyone." However, the TASS news agency has reported that the Russian-controlled Ukraine region of Kherson has begun exporting grain to Russia. And the deputy head of the pro-Russian military civilian administration in the area said he did not know how payments had been organised for these deliveries. It's also been reported that Russia has been attempting to make deliveries of wheat to Egypt and Lebanon, and both countries have turned these deliveries away as they've been unhappy with the provenance of the product. One of the reasons that the people of Ukraine are so unhappy with the accusations of Russia stealing food is that it has a lot of resonance with regards to something that happened in the 1930s. A famine hit the Ukraine area in 1932 and 1933 and has been called the Holodomor, which is a term derived from the Ukrainian words for hunger and extermination. The origins of this famine lay in the decision by Soviet leader Joseph Stalin to collectivize agriculture in 1929. Teams of Communist Party agitators forced peasants to relinquish their land, personal property, and sometimes housing to collective farms. Collectivization led to a drop in production, the disorganization of the rural economy, and food shortages. It also sparked a series of peasant rebellions, including armed uprisings in some parts of Ukraine. These rebellions worried Stalin because they were unfolding in provinces which a decade earlier had fought against the Red Army during the Russian Civil War. He was also concerned by anger and resistance to the state agriculture policy within the Ukrainian Communist Party. Stalin was reported to have stated at the time in a letter to one of his colleagues, "If we don't make an effort now to improve the situation in Ukraine, we may lose Ukraine." In late 1932, farms, villages and whole towns in Ukraine were placed on blacklists and prevented from receiving food. Peasants were forbidden to leave Ukraine in search of food. Despite growing starvation, food requisitions were increased and aid was not provided in sufficient quantities. The crisis reached its peak in the winter of 1932-33, when organised groups of police and communists ransacked the homes of peasants and took everything edible, from crops to personal food supplies to pets. The result of Stalin's campaign was a catastrophe in Ukraine. It's estimated that between 1931 and 1934, at least 3.9 million people died in Ukraine. However, there are some estimates of more than double this figure. Whilst peasants were dying, the Soviet secret police were targeting the Ukrainian political establishment and intelligentsia. The famine provided cover for a campaign of repression and persecution that was carried out against Ukrainian culture and Ukrainian religious leaders. Because the famine was so deadly and because it was officially denied by the Kremlin for more than half a century, it has played a large role in Ukrainian public memory, particularly since independence. Monuments commemorating the Holodomor have been erected by the Ukrainian government, and Holodomor Remembrance Day is observed around the world on the fourth Saturday of November. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we've been talking about the potential for a world food crisis and the problems that we've got are building on a daily basis. Ukraine is one of the biggest exporters of a variety of different food substances. Wheat and sunflower oil are the highest profile, but it is also a big producer of millet and rapeseed oil and a variety of other things. Now, as we've discussed before, the supply of food globally is finely tuned. It's finely balanced. So if you take out 5 or 10% of the global supply, it has a meaningful impact. It causes shortages because the countries who've been importing directly from Ukraine suddenly don't get any of those imports. And everything is fed through the system on a relatively quick basis. So if you run out of wheat supplies, that has a direct impact on everybody that's using that flour. So the bread producers, the pasta producers, the noodle producers all suddenly run short. And it's really difficult to be able to source large volumes very quickly. So the loss of these exports to the world is a big problem. But what we're seeing here is a slightly different angle on this food crisis. We're seeing food that Ukraine has been stockpiling for its own use. This grain was not all due to be exported. Some of it was to be used to feed the people of Ukraine. And the fact that Russia has been accused of stealing this grain has two real big implications. Firstly, it's reviving a lot of memories of a really bad period in Ukrainian history. But the secondary fact here comes to a question that I've not raised before on the channel. I've deliberately stayed away from the political discussions around Russia's invasion of Ukraine. I haven't got into any of the debates about why Russia's doing it and whether or not it's justified, and I want to stay away from all of that. But a key question that I wanted to raise here is that when one country invades another country, what does it do once it's actually sitting in those occupied territories? Is Russia now claiming that it owns all of these areas and therefore anything that it produces is Russian and they can just take it all away? Or is it just sitting there for a short period of time? And that really is a fundamental question as to whether or not Russia is stealing everything that's in that area. Because if you say that the invasion is not justified, then basically anything that Russia is taking from those areas is theft. Because they've walked into another country and now they're taking away things that are owned by that country. So the Ukrainian authorities are accusing Russia of stealing all of this grain. But essentially, I think the point here is that Russia's trying to steal all of this land. It's not just the grain. They're trying to take over the whole territory and everything within it, including the grain and any food. So that's why the Ukrainian authorities are so annoyed by this situation and put out. And it seems a little bit counterintuitive that Russia are denying any theft in the area when they've got military personnel who've gone in and occupied all of these places. It's obvious that they're going to start using any of the facilities that are in those places, including food. So whether you call it theft, whether you call it war, it doesn't really matter. It was Ukrainian to start with, and it's now being used by Russia. And in terms of what's the global impact of all of this? Well, as we've discussed before, unfortunately, it's bad news. Because whatever you call it, whether you call it theft or occupation or relocation of all of this property, Russia is taking away a lot of food that was previously going to be going to the world export markets. So we've now got lack of food in certain countries because those exports are not being made. And it's interesting that Egypt and Lebanon turned away these deliveries. They didn't want that grain coming on Russian ships. So that grain may well have been earmarked to go to those countries by Ukraine. But because Russia has stepped in and seized control of that grain, those countries have said, we don't want it. And that's a really interesting response at a time when they're desperate for those food items. So this shows again that countries have made a decision that they don't want to be dealing with Russia, even if they're desperate. And even if those ships turn up at their docks fully laden and ready to be unloaded, they're being turned away. And that will be an interesting development as it pans out over the next 2 to 3 years, whether or not all these countries stick with that perspective. Because if they do, Russia will find it very difficult to find new partners to trade with. But fundamentally, we are seeing a reduction in the supply of food globally. That's going to drive up prices because simple economics always tells you that when there's a shortage and demand stays high, prices will rise. So prices are going up. We've got shortages in a lot of countries around the world. That could cause a humanitarian disaster. I recently posted a video on that. Check it out if you haven't seen it already. And the bottom line on all of this is that as prices stay high globally, that's going to drive up inflation further, which is going to drive up the need to increase interest rates, which will reduce the amount of cash that everybody has because debt prices will go up. And therefore, we are looking at a global recession. So fundamentally, once again, all of these things that I'm reporting on seem to be pointing towards a global recession coming over the next 6 to 12 months. So I hope that you found this video useful and interesting. I wanted to include a little bit of history in this video to give everybody a bit more perspective, because I don't think many of us know a lot about Ukrainian history and the tension that has been going on for a long period of time between Russia and Ukraine. So I wanted to put a bit more colour onto that story to give everybody a slightly better understanding as to how the relationship has been formed. So if you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. I'm now getting quite a lot of interest from creators, so thank you very much if you're one of the people who's contacted me and talked to me about putting videos out. The videos that we've got are a really interesting mixed bag, so you're going to see a variety of different things, and some of them have nothing to do with the world of finance and the type of things that I'm reporting on. So hopefully you'll find them interesting. I'll let you know as soon as anything goes live, so keep an eye on the channel. If you haven't subscribed to Joe Blogs 2, then please do so, because I'd need to get some support for that channel for this experiment to be a success. So once again, thanks for watching this part of the video, and thanks for watching this whole video all the way through to the end.